We begin at UNC, where a committee created just last year submitted its final report to university officials last week on whether to change the names of buildings whose namesakes were noted white supremacists. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with the latest.
The Chancellor's Committee to Review History and Race Commission resolution held its first meeting on October 19, 2021. It was just more than 1 year after UNC's Board of Trustees overturned a policy barring any further name changes to buildings and promptly removed four namesakes. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz delivered the charge to the committee, which was not too far from the goal of his Commission on History, Race, and a Way Forward, the group that brought the proposal of name removals.
As you know, our campus has struggled for decades with a complicated history, a history that includes the reality of white supremacy. We want to ensure that the people we honor on our campus reflect our values today.
18 meetings later, the committee's charge is complete. On Wednesday, Chair Mike Smith gathered formal consensus on the final report from UNC faculty, students, alumni, and more who had weighed the legacies and impact of 10 buildings named after people with ties to white supremacy. The formal report was delivered to Chancellor Guskowitz on Monday, so there is not a public copy just yet. But the review of language in its executive summary and examples provided a glimpse into how the committee approached its discussions and ultimate recommendations to remove some names. One example is the future of Morrison Residence Hall. Smith read language from the final report of how the renaming committee reviewed Morrison's racist actions while considering his other involvement at UNC and in North Carolina. He said Morrison's accomplishments don't weaken the case for namesake removal because of his extensive efforts to disenfranchise black residents.
Through his public leadership, Morrison exercised power and influence by encouraging others to engage in racial violence that harmed black citizens. He caused much greater harm than a typical person of the time who held racist and bigoted beliefs.
During its Wednesday meeting, the committee also discussed its phrasing on addressing the future of Ruffin Residence Hall and Battle Hall, two of the buildings that caused the committee more deliberation than others. Ruffin Hall was one of the four namesakes changed in 2020 by the Board of Trustees, but kept its name since the trustees shifted the namesake to Thomas Ruffin Jr. instead of his father. Battle Hall, meanwhile, is named after Kemp Plummer Battle, a former university president and slave owner whose university contributions meet the current board policy for a name holder. Smith indicated the committee is of the belief that keeping those names, even through technicalities, could still, quote, cause pain to students and faculty.
What we're saying is, look, we're following the policy and we feel like the policy requires us, if you will, to continue those two names, and we're still troubled by it.
UNC's current policy is for these recommendations to go from the committee to the chancellor, and then for the chancellor to present his own recommendations to the Board of Trustees. As part of the changed renaming policy approved in 2020, those who now receive dedicated namesakes on campus must pass standards that include being historically underrepresented and having, quote, demonstrated positive impact both at UNC and in the broader community. While the vote to change namesakes is ultimately up to the Board of Trustees, Smith closed Wednesday's meeting by saying he hopes it can draw on the committee as an example of how to approach such conversations.
I've said to people, more people than I can count, how much I love this committee. It has just been such a pleasure to work with you all, to have these dialogues on a really complicated issue where I feel like I've made friends with people who I want to stay in touch with somehow, some way. And I also feel like I've learned a lot about an important topic for all of us.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Over to the courts now for a hearing scheduled today for an Orange County man who was charged with second-degree murder back in 2019 after allegedly providing illegal substances to an 18-year-old who then died of an overdose. Officials say Nathan Windham is expected to accept a plea deal in court today. The incident happened nearly 4 years ago. Meanwhile, in Raleigh this week, the state Supreme Court is hearing arguments on several high-profile cases. Yesterday, justices heard arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's new voter ID law, and today the NNO reports the court will be back in session hearing arguments in a case over how much power the courts have to scrutinize partisan gerrymandering. No time frame on when the courts might rule, but their decisions will not affect this year's election in any way. Meanwhile, WRAL is reporting a new poll showing Republican voters in North Carolina are still unconfident that their votes will be accurately counted. Only 15% of Republicans say they're fully confident. 44% say they have little or no confidence. That's in contrast to Democrats and independent voters, the vast majority of whom say they are confident the system is working. That same poll also shows the race for U.S. Senate remains deadlocked. Republican Ted Budd with 43%, Democrat Sherry Beasley with 42%, and 13% still undecided. Back locally, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was in town last week visiting solar farms in White Cross, among other things, as part of a tour to build support for the Inflation Reduction Act and specifically the impact it'll have on efforts to fight climate change. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger on Yellen's visit.
She talked all about the new Inflation Reduction Act and the amount of environmental forward progress we could make with that plan. I was a little curious why the Treasury Secretary, but they are in charge of writing all the laws and codes around this because there'll be tax credits involved. So I was really excited here to find out there's going to be lots of available tax credits to help people buy more energy efficient heating and cooling systems or to install solar in their homes. Also for the municipalities to be able to get some benefit out of those tax credits as well. We did talk about our robust EV charging network and how the federal funds are going to make that a reality across the state. We did talk all things Chapel Hill and how passionate our community is about climate action and moving forward and being part of the bigger picture. So it really was a great day spent with her, but again, just, oops, you're here, your Tuesday is just turned upside down.
You didn't have any plans on Tuesday, did you?
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger there. Get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, in Carrboro, work is about to get underway on the 203 South Greensboro Street building project downtown, and town officials announced yesterday that the parking lot that's currently on that site is going to close on October 17th, 2 weeks from yesterday, for that work to begin. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including a summary of our ongoing coverage of lead contamination and drinking fountains on the UNC campus and has a running list of which buildings have been affected so far. 6:18 is your time. Aaron Keck coming at you live from Twinsic Aura Studios here at University Place. We got sports coming up in just a second. Speaking of sports, on Saturday the 8th, UNC Swimming and Diving is hosting a Swim Across America event at Curran Auditorium starting at 9 a.m. Everyone's invited to come out and participate in the fun swim event. You can also volunteer. You can donate. It's all for a great cause to raise funds for the Leinberger Cancer Center. Get more info online at goheels.com. Sports this hour brought to you by Olmaz Jewelers. A defensive battle ended in a loss last night for UNC men's soccer, 1-0 at the hands of 17th-ranked Clemson. Both teams managed just 6 shots. Clemson's goal came in the 77th minute. UNC's back in action on Friday. They'll be hosting Virginia Tech at 7. Meanwhile, in football, the accolades keep rolling in for Tar Heel quarterback Drake May. Following Carolina's win over Virginia Tech, May has been named ACC Quarterback of the Week, ACC Freshman of the Week, and a Manning Award Star of the Week. Plus, he's also been named to the Davey O'Brien Great Eight list as one of the nation's top QBs. May passed for 363 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Hokies. He also ran for 73 yards and 2 scores. May and the Heels are heading to Miami this weekend to take on the Hurricanes Saturday at 4 p.m. And then they're at Duke the following Saturday. Game time for that one has been set for 8 p.m. It'll be an evening game. Saturday's win over Virginia Tech was an especially emotional one. It was Cancer Awareness Week, and Tar Heels were honoring receiver Tylee Kraft, who's currently battling cancer. Saturday also happened to be his 21st birthday. Here's head coach Mac Brown.
It was pretty emotional all week for Tylee to be involved like he always is, but to be front and center, and it's really special for him, and even more unique that it was his 21st birthday. So I can't imagine getting a call that says that you've got cancer. I can't imagine going back for a checkup with a doctor wondering about how that scan's gonna look. I just can't imagine that, and especially at 21 years old. And I got emotional after the game some, but I lost a brother last year to cancer. I've lost a mother to cancer. I've got a daughter that's had cancer and come out on the positive side, and I've got a wife that had cancer and came out on the positive side. So it does matter to you out there that have cancer, and we do care. We don't understand. Sally always told me it's interesting when they, people know you're sick, they don't know what to say. So do you ask about it? Do you not ask about it? And she always said that, that people want you to care. You that have cancer, we do care. And we do pray for you and want you to get better.
That's Mac Brown speaking there. Over to basketball now, where excitement is building for Carolina after last year's trip to the national final. ESPN's Dick Vitale has named UNC's Armando Bacot to his national preseason first team. And the Tar Heel Tribune reports head coach Hubert Davis got an honor of his own. He's been chosen to serve as Grand Marshal at this Sunday's NASCAR race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Of course, this Friday also marks the unofficial start of the season. Live action with Carolina basketball, 7:30 p.m. at the Smith Center. Now to baseball, where the Diamond Heels are taking the field this week for the annual Fall World Series scrimmage event. Game 1 is today at 2:30. Game 2 is 2:30 tomorrow. And then the final game is at 3 p.m. on Friday. All three of those games are free for everyone to come by and watch at Bosch Amher Stadium this week.